In this part, I'll discuss managing power struggles with adolescents. This topic extends from our previous discussions about power struggles, but focuses on adolescents. Adolescence brings new situations for both teenagers and parents. So far, if there have been clear boundaries at home and minimal long-lasting power struggles between the teenager and their parent, the beginning of adolescence might change that. Misalignments in our new and old boundaries with the adolescent can lead to disagreements. In these situations, even small arguments can evolve into persistent power struggles. I'm referring to seemingly minor issues. Bedtime, for example. Until now, if they used to go to bed at 8:30, they might now prefer to go to bed at 9 or even 9:30. When we make decisions like this, it's essential that they originate from us and that the child participates in the decision-making process. They should be delighted to know that we're initiating these changes because we genuinely understand their evolving needs. Adolescence is a period where a teenager's significant social circles change. Initially, they were mostly around home and their parents, who they trusted unconditionally. However, now their social circle has expanded to their peers, who begin to play a major role in their lives. Hence, the first understanding parents must have is that home boundaries need to adjust. We need to balance the child's new needs with our own. As parents, we must evaluate what we can accommodate and what we cannot. For instance, it's typical for a teenager to stay in their room for extended periods during adolescence, either engrossed in computer games, chatting with friends, or just seeking solitude. In such cases, parents need to devise a new strategy and establish fresh boundaries. For cooperation to exist between parents and children, parents also need to identify what matters most to them. If a teenager spends a lot of time in their room, perhaps it's necessary to introduce a new rule, such as having a family meal at least twice a week. This meal could be either dinner or lunch and should include all family members, as teens tend to spend most of their time in their rooms or with friends. Each family can choose their boundaries based on what works best for them. Could it be dinner once or twice a week? Could it be regulating screen time? Every family decides the most suitable boundary for them. I can't dictate whether a boundary is right or wrong because it should align with your unique needs. While I can assist in establishing the boundaries, the ultimate choice is yours. We need to consider both the parent's needs and the adolescent's needs in this process. Besides situations where you need to modify boundaries, we also need to understand what the child is experiencing at a deeper level. What is our teenager going through? Adolescents often believe their parents can't comprehend their feelings, forgetting that we were once in their shoes. We understand precisely what an adolescent experiences because we've been there too. Often, teenagers may exclaim, "My parents will never understand me." This expression represents their hesitance to share with their parents, stemming from a belief that their feelings or experiences won't be comprehended. However, this belief isn't accurate. As parents, it's crucial to adjust our responses to reassure them that we are present, supportive, and willing to understand. Another crucial aspect is that adolescents experience numerous physical changes that can lead to feelings of fear. They begin to discover their personality traits, and their voice begins to change. Their manner of speaking and tone of voice also transform, marking the emergence of a new identity. They are also exploring new social groups, perhaps desiring to join a group that parents didn't anticipate. During these transformative years, parents should actively participate in their child's evolving world. Understanding and accepting the changes that adolescents experience is paramount. Both parents and adolescents are grappling with new needs, and it's vital for parents to comprehend their adolescent's perspective. Sometimes adolescents might appear argumentative and seemingly prioritize the outside world. This may lead parents to retreat, mistakenly believing that their child no longer needs them. However, such a response isn't appropriate. Parents must continue to be integral parts of their child's life, demonstrating their active involvement. Parents provide the essential support their child needs. Despite the changing dynamics, parents will always serve as a child's safe haven. Parents should constantly reassure their children of their unwavering trust and support, irrespective of the child's actions. It's important for children to know they can always lean on their parents for support, for sharing thoughts and feelings, and that their parents will always be there for them without resorting to anger, reprimands, or punishments. As such, it's crucial for parents to establish new home boundaries while keeping their child's needs in mind. Parents must also evaluate their priorities, choosing which battles are worth fighting. For instance, insisting on a perfectly tidy room may not be as important as making sure dirty clothes make their way to the laundry. Meanwhile, a child might require more screen time as it becomes a new necessity for them. It all boils down to discerning what's best for your family, and remember, the ultimate decisions rest with you. Let's talk about sleeping time. The amount of sleep your child needs might change. So, what should their curfew be, midnight or perhaps 11:30? When it comes to these little details, you'll learn what works for you and what you can let slide. However, I must stress, if you don't pick your battles wisely, and if you quarrel over trivial matters, you'll find that your teenager will isolate themselves more often. The who will win, power struggles will escalate, and the teenager will drift away from you. This could lead to more rule breaking, a loss of trust, and a breakdown of your relationship. Therefore, it's crucial that you foster cooperation between you and your adolescent. The conversations you need to have will look different from those you had when they were younger. They should be aimed at building trust and reaching agreements. So, how should these conversations work? Start by making them a part of the discussion. Ask them, "How does this make you feel when their room is a mess?" Ask them how they feel about it. You might value a tidy home, but I understand that cleaning up might not be their thing. Or they might just be too busy. However, they should understand that if they want you to wash their clothes, they need to do their part and put their clothes in the laundry basket. Only then I can wash them. In this way, you're both contributing, helping each other out. This establishes mutual trust and mutual agreement. Another point for discussion could be the value of time. For example, let's say your child asks you, "Can you drop me off at my class?" or "Take me to my friend's house," and then the child is not ready to go when it's time to leave. This can make you late and disrupt your tight schedule. Then we start by saying, "We all have tight schedules." In such cases, you can talk about the importance of punctuality. You don't want to be late for your meetings, and certainly not for your child's class, especially when you've invested your hard-earned money in their education. You also don't want them to miss out on their lessons. But on the other hand, you understand that they also have a lot on their plate. So you need to set an agreement. If they want a ride, they should inform you in advance. For example, if they know they need a ride at 4:30 on Wednesday, they need to be ready at the exact time. Otherwise, you won't be able to drive them. If you're late, you might have to walk, for instance. So, if you're not ready on time, you might miss out on visiting your friend or attending your favorite class. Because I have an important meeting to attend and won't be able to give you a ride. The key point here is to avoid acting defiantly. We will discuss this further during our conversation and establish an agreement around it. We are talking about two sides. But when they're late or when they demand a shirt that they didn't put in the laundry basket, don't be defiant. Don't say things like, "I told you so. We discussed this. You didn't put it in the laundry. It's your problem." No. Avoid talking like this. Instead, communicate your understanding and explain that the clothes weren't in the basket and hence couldn't be washed. If it's a matter of time, explain. "Look, I'm really late. I understand your situation, but I can't drive you." Be logical in your explanation, starting with the acknowledgement that you understand their situation. It's unfortunate if they're late to their friend's house, or unable to attend their class, or if they can't wear the clothes they wanted to. So, make sure to communicate with them logically, explain things clearly, and show understanding without getting angry. It's a bummer, but they'll make the effort next time, as you didn't react angrily or overreact, and you didn't start a fight. Therefore, they'll make a real effort next time to put their shirt in the laundry basket so it's ready. In conclusion, if we want to address power struggles with adolescents, we need to adapt our home to the new situation. We need to adjust the home to their new needs while also considering our own. We must set new boundaries that suit them, but we must pick our battles. Don't insist on things that can be let go. Avoid useless struggles that could cause a divide or lead to disconnection between you and your children. Adolescents need us more than we often think. We must be part of their new world. Show interest and understand all the changes happening in their bodies, minds, and hearts, as well as their feelings, by showing interest in their world and bringing our own experiences as adolescents to the table. They'll be more open to us. They'll want to share more with us and trust us. Give them the assurance that you're always there for them, no matter what. You are their safe haven, and even during a storm, they will want to come back to you to share and communicate, not run away and hide. To get their cooperation, the conversation must be built on trust and an agreement that both sides will help the other abide by it. Don't get angry, attack, or blame. None of these will contribute to a healthy connection, which is what we need to work on now. It was a pleasure having you with us for this parenting course. We hope that the knowledge and strategies shared during the course will empower you in your parenting journey. Remember, parenting is a continuous learning process, and we encourage you to apply what you've learned to create a positive and nurturing environment for your children. We look forward to having you join us for our next course. Thank you again, and let's make our kids happier.